Okay,
for you.
so here's our Monday night NHXHit talk. There's a couple of us here already. This is Russell Canning, and we got Matt C. here already. This is Monday, January 22nd. The cold snap is broken here, like it did everywhere else. And so you're thinking that hopefully Alu can join us tonight. What were you saying?
I did ask him to join us. He said yes. I don't know if he's not here just yet, but that's okay.
Yeah, he might not be able to. I mean, it seems like a lot of times he hasn't been able to come on Monday. And also, you know, since he does his own show and stuff like that, I might try to set up another interview with him. He's done two or three of these with me, you know, a couple of years ago. And maybe I'll just have to find a time that fits him so we can do it. Or I'll go on their show once or twice, you know, Liberty Block. And what were you guys talking about? Whether you were talking about having a white paper.
I was hoping he'd be able to join us tonight because I wanted to give him some feedback on why his articles of secession do not qualify as a white paper. It's constructive criticism. There's, of course, value to it. You can buy Ali's book on Amazon. You know, it's something to get your mind ticking. But you know, I can still go through my feedback for him right now.
So
then
Matt,
you can watch this later.
Yeah,
when he's available.
Yeah, just a second. Which book is this one? What's the title again?
So I'm discussing Alu's articles of secession and whether or not they qualify as a white paper.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And what would you consider a white paper?
Well, a white paper is technical and authoritative. And the way that this book reads is, so I can just start, we have, he gives a lot of personal reasons why he doesn't like the government. Mm-hmm. And also in the writing style as well, the use of first person personal pronouns like I, me, and my, do not, when you use those in a document, it is no longer a technical document. Mm-hmm. The tone of this book is too conversational and is not authoritative. Some of the references in this book are actually outdated. Like, this book was actually meant to capture an audience who was paying attention to CACR 32. I mean, we're already past CACR 20 is now come and gone, basically. We'll see how the votes in the state house come. I have no idea what to expect this year. I mean, Brody Deshaies is referenced several times in this book, and he is no longer in the state house.
Yeah. When you're talking about having a white paper, who do you think is the audience for this white paper? The one you're talking about.
So I would want something that would make political scientists as well as people who are already in government be like, oh, turn their heads.
Do you think we could get somebody that's already studying or find somebody in academia that's interested in this enough to cover it? Well, or what do you think?
Well, that's probably what we would have to do. I know, I mean, any white paper would have to be produced under the banner of the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence. Mm-hmm. This right here is published under, you know, this is, you know, libertyblock.com. So that's a news. This is a journalist's take on it. A good white paper would take input from other, you know, bodies. Like I was talking with Pat at the LPNH convention this past Saturday. He's like, you need to talk to the Ways and Means Committee and one other. We got to find out, list out all the different kinds of connections that we have with the federal government, really specific, like all the points of funding. We have to find, you know, bodies of professionals who already are not necessarily promoting secession, but who advocate for policies in states that would, in similar size, like we don't need to necessarily have a white paper be a completely original work. It does not need to be original research on our part, but it has to be our legwork in finding out the answers to the questions that people have. One other point of Alu's book is that it kind of puts, like, Alu can talk for like an hour on New Hampshire independence. I can't do that. I don't have a map of what New Hampshire would be like in my mind for an hour. And I tease when I say this, but it's like for this plan to be successful, Alu would have to be the king of New Hampshire. And and we need to be able to pass the knowledge along to another person. It needs to be transmutable, because we need to be able to do that. You know, there's some what other situations, like we could find ourselves in a situation like with a good treaty, we could be like France and Monaco. But what happens? How are things different if, let's say, we declare independence, but the U.S. doesn't recognize it, and we're like Taiwan in the sense that Taiwan is independent from China, but China doesn't actually recognize that. How would that situation work?
That would be awesome, because Taiwan's been independent of China my entire life, and Taiwan keeps getting better and better. I think it'll be a lot like, I actually hope it'll be a lot like that. They keep getting
And that's what a good white paper would do. It would, we would look at models, and we would look at, you know, other secessions that have happened in the past with similar secessions to ours, because there's, again, with, you know, with HB 1130, again, that's arguing for a study committee. And if we want them to take, you know, like, you know, as, you know, the, you know, libertarian philosophy is about, you know, the private sector can do better than the government. And with HB 1130, what's up, Steve, where we, the private sector, you know, the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence, which is the private sector, is asking the state of New Hampshire, the government, to do something, even though many libertarians believe that the private sector is better than the government at doing it. And it'll be a lot easier for us to get a state study commission done once we have our own little study commission done. But it has to be a little bit more thicker than Articles of Secession. And I guess Steve's here today. And of course, if you've read, Russell, you've read Steve's book, right? Club 75 Alliance Manifesto?
Yes, yeah.
You know, that's a strategy for getting more people to move to New Hampshire and then secede with more people. You know, I see it a lot as like, you know, the Free State Project is like the poor man's, but Steve is, we're specifically reaching out to like a wealthier tier of people and making it happen.
Also, maybe something like that could happen, like you're talking about. Maybe you could talk to Steve Ville about that. And, you know, maybe that'd be something that the Foundation of New Hampshire Independence and the Club 75 guys could work on together or something.
I don't know if they have separate things or not. Yeah, Steve, so you're just joining in, but, you know, well, you kind of got with the root of what we're talking about right now is, you know, we have a study, we requested a study commission in HB 1130, and, you know, we were denied. So it's like, you know, we should take our own initiative, and under the banner of the foundation, we should
there's still an independent
technical study on New Hampshire as its own country. And I'm explaining why this is not a satisfactory white paper, but it's certainly worth reading.
Yeah. There's still a floor vote.
And that's true. There is. Yeah. I mean, we got totally crushed in the committee
here. That happened in 2022, and we still got 13 people to vote for it on the floor. Granted, it's probably not going to be a whole lot, but it'll be interesting to see if it's at least a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
it's
a doomer.
It's hard to tell.
So everybody knows I'm a doomer.
It's hard to picture too many people going for it, because we're not getting a lot of feedback that way, and the leadership of both the Democrats and the Republicans are not for it. So yeah, it's kind of hard to get people to go for it. So we'll see. Although it was interesting, just the stuff that was discussed about it on the floor last time.
Yeah.
And yeah. Even like, even if like if Matt S can get his thing, the study committee thing that far, you know, that would be interesting how people react or talk about that. How many people would vote for something that's just a, it's just a study committee.
Yeah.
So that'd be kind of interesting. So he, so Steve, he's been talking, he's been kind of talking to Alu about this and that sort of thing. And maybe after this session, maybe that'll be your big thing you're pushing for, Matt, right? After this, after the legislation kind of finishes for this year, maybe, you know, figure out who can do that white paper or how can we put it together, or that might be interesting. Because if we don't have a study commission by the government, I guess, yeah, like you're saying, it'd have to be a private group that does it.
I swear, if we become independent, it's going to be because this is how it's going to start. It's because, once again, Jason and Frank were arrested for filming when they were trying to make their own records. This is going to be the linchpin that New Hampshire independence actually falls around.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's going to... Oh, my goodness.
Well, it is also funny. These kinds of things hit ahead in the past under lots of funny circumstances, right? There's strange things that kind of push things to the to that point. It's always... it's always kind of funny. So Steve and I had fun talking yesterday. That worked out good. So people can hear that thing. That's in the, that's been posted in different places, and it's on in the on the blog, in the podcast. So we got that going. Riley has joined us too. Have you guys been talking much NHXit on the Free Talk Live show, Riley?
We haven't been talking about much New Hampshire Exit on Free Talk Live, but I think it's an important issue to talk about. So I will be back on the show, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, and it might be something I'll have to suggest we bring up.
Well, anybody that's listening to this podcast, feel free to call into Free Talk Live when they're on, and you can get on there and talk about it.
Yes.
That definitely happens.
So, Riley, I don't know if we've ever met in person. Have you been out to the Seacoast? Have you been to any of the events here?
Like I have not. I only went to the Seacoast once, but that was a few years ago when I was visiting New Hampshire. I went to see the Bitcoin shop that they had there at one point, and so...
Okay.
Yeah, that was several years ago, so I really would like to go out into the Seacoast again and check it out.
Wait, where are you living, if I may ask?
Living in Winchester right now.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. So you're over in the Keene area. All right. Yeah. Do you ever get out to Manchester? I mean, because I would like
not
you
really.
To go to the... Not really. Okay, you pretty much stay in the Keene area.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, eventually Riley will be wandering around and bumping into you at, like you might go to the Liberty Forum this year, right, Riley? That's possible.
Maybe. It's entirely possible I might make it out there if I can figure out finances and stuff like that. So,
either that or how about Porkfest? Have you been to Porkfest?
I have not. I'm not a huge camper, so Porkfest does not sound too exciting.
Well, not everybody that goes to Porkfest camps, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, up until then. Let's see. Stuff I posted this week. In-depth NH put out an article talking about how New Hampshire has a big general fund surplus again this year. And they had an extra $132 million so far for last year. So they added that to the rainy day fund, which is now the highest it's ever been, almost $300 million. So we're going the opposite direction of the federal government. It also mentioned that the Education Trust Fund had an extra $161 million in it, and that's all going in its fund because they're going to have some things they have to spend over the next couple of years. So that was fun.
I didn't know there was an Education Trust Fund.
Yeah, I guess. Well, also, some of this is kind of new. That might have just been, you know, because they keep adding to that Education Freedom Account program and stuff like that. So it's like that's where they're putting in, you know, a little portion of what, you know, so it's earmarked for that, you know what I mean? Instead of some of the 5% that used to go to, you know, the local districts automatically. So that's what they're putting in there. So it too has extra money, unlike the feds who spend our money into the future, right? Let's see here. Another thing I posted was what'd you say, Matt?
No, I didn't. I thought you were done. I'm sorry. I'll continue.
Yeah, no. That's I'm ready for you to say something.
Well, so part of one of the biggest obstacles, I think, of resistance that people will have for, you know, deciding to pick New Hampshire for, you know, hey, like we want to secede. It's still, you know, the cultural identity of being American. So I'm reading a book right now called Nationalism and Liberty by Hans Kohn. To talk about, you know, and it kind of uses Switzerland as a model of, you know, of having a national identity, but, you know, having liberty also for its people. Not a bad, it's really short too. I'm only halfway through. I'll probably have to read it a few times to try and get what it's going to, because I've got a few other things I'm working on right now. But, you know, we're talking about New Hampshire independence as its own country. A certain sense of national identity will need to accompany that to actually be successful. Or at least I think.
Do you think part of Switzerland's personality has been that, you know, they were kind of, they're kind of a interesting mixture of the Italian, French, German type stuff, and you know that sort of thing.
I just finished reading the chapter about Napoleon coming over, and basically when he restored the same sort of confederation when the first three cantons came together, because the, you know, the Helvetic people who are the, who are the culturally Celtic, more Celtic stock of that area around the time of ancient Rome, their Celtic stock that speaks German. I think that's what it is. We obviously have Romansh and Romansh and Italian and French speakers in Italy as well, but I think the stock is not, like, I don't know if the Swiss Germans are actually German. I think they're Celts. They're more like French people, but they speak German. Sort of like Irish people are Celts, but they speak English. Mm-hmm. In that regard, they have.
Well, also, like when.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. This might require one or two. I think this is something to be considered in the background, though. Like, I think everyone should. We should read this all. So we got it. Yeah. But I know I'll probably have to read it once or twice because, like, we're not. Like, all I can think about is, like, we'll need a new flag. You know, need some new symbols, need some national myths.
But one of the things I was thinking of is when the 13 colonies got together and became, the United States, they were so much, a lot of them, like a lot of people in New Hampshire were all from the same place originally. And now our personality is so different, right? Most of us have come from very different places, or, we've had different people that moved here. You might be from lots of different, and people have immigrated to the United States at different times. And then New Hampshire is a mixture of you know, people that have been here forever and those of us that have come somewhere. You know what I mean? It's like a whole different kind of thing than 200 years ago.
I think I shared a graphic about this, though. I think we would still be most successful with grounding in our history. You know, we're still part of the Anglosphere, overwhelmingly culturally American, specifically New England still. But specifically New Hampshire amongst all that. I think that's
You like the idea of us coming up with a whole new, a new flag, a new thing, kind of building up this special thing.
I do know that Tim McGough has a, he's gotten a bill in this year for to put Live Free or Die on the flag. I think it's a great idea. I still think we should do a whole new flag that's more aesthetically pleasing than just a seal on a drape. But that's what we've got so far. But we got other things to worry about, too.
Putting Live Free or Die on the flag will drive another group of people away. Or, you know, there's some socialists that don't like it on the license plates either. So, you know.
Yeah, no, that would be. I think it would be us committing to that principle. I wouldn't be
against it. Which one was it? DeSantis said he wants to be a Live Free or Die president. That was like 3 or 4 days ago. And I was
thinking, irritated when people who are not from New Hampshire use that phrase. I'm like, shut up.
Well, yeah, if they're gonna be a Live Free or Die president, that's means you're gonna have to move to New Hampshire and secede, because that's the only way there's gonna be a Live Free or Die president. Yeah. We also, I think, need to build the myth or the legend or even right now the caricature of New Hampshire man, kind of like Florida man. But we need New Hampshire man.
That's from, you got his book.
Okay, so I got this book. Now, why does it come out backwards like that?
I see it just fine. I'm reading it right.
Okay. Yeah, and I also got this one, which looks like the more interesting of them, Strategy and Tactics for Aspiring Nations.
Yeah.
Did you take a look at that, Matt?
I've read both of those books, and they're great. So Secession and the Sovereignty Game is about what secessionist movements themselves actually do.
Okay.
And he's using current models right now, actual movements that are happening. And then Age of Secession is looking at how big empires and big political states devolve into multiple states. They use the Soviet Union, they use the British Empire, so they're looking at what big states do when they break up, and then they also look at what groups do to build up. So that, and they're both great books.
Okay. Have you by any chance read Jason Soren's book, Secessionist?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I guess you probably got them all, and you're an expert by now. But
I need to read them again.
Okay.
I know I need to read them again. But I realize that when in my position as PAC chair, I don't need to be the political scientist. I just have to have that stuff in the background, because I don't need to, what does the PAC do? We do campaign finance, you know, and legislation. That's what we do.
Right.
And, you know, eventually. You know, ideally this year we get actual like door knockers and things like that and volunteer coordinators to help. You know, if we get a bunch of people voting for CACR 20 still, and you know, considering what the federal government is doing in Texas right now with their sovereignty, like that's a rallying cry and protest against the feds. CACR 20 and then still HB 1130. I should still be optimistic. You know, I knew things were going to get, you know, things are going to get worse. I should still be optimistic, but I'm, yeah. But I do think that we got to get a nice technical study done, you know, on our own. If we want to make it, we'll see if this passes the House, but.
Yeah.
Okay, and Russell, you got the links, the names.
Okay, yeah, I'll look them up, and that way I can put that out in places that I do
Yeah.
things.
I'm curious if Alu has read Jason's book or Ryan's books or the other Ryan's books, Ryan McMacken's book. But there's an endless amount of reading that we could do. Like, what do we need to know?
He goes by Ryan McMakin. I
So
listen
when
to
I
his
that's
podcast, so.
yeah, that's the other Ryan who wrote a book up. He wrote the book Breaking Away, which I have as well, which is good.
Yeah, those are all good
Yeah,
ones.
because but either way, what we need to be successful, of course, is we want monthly donors so we can help the PAC operate and we can donate to our candidates. And Steve, does the Club 75 Alliance have an option for becoming a monthly donor?
My policy at this point is to not encourage donations, which I know is very counter to things. I don't feel ethically right asking for money until we have a clear idea of how we're going to spend it.
Right. No, that makes sense.
Okay, but I can tell people to go to NHIPAC and donate there. I suppose I could
Yeah,
do
we
that.
have a little bit of an idea of how any funds that come to us will be donated. We've already had
Okay.
one election cycle come through. We got five people through. Well, actually, basically, yeah, we gave money to like four people, and then we endorsed five. And then we got Jason Gerhard into the State House, which is really cool because we sent him checks for his mailers that he did on his own. So that was yeah. But we I think we still I think if we try to become secessionist experts ourselves, like we might miss the opportunity. What we need to do for a study commission is finding the right people who sort of believe and are able to contribute ideas and get those, and there'll be some like a little bit of legwork, but yeah, that's what's going to be. Yeah, we gotta do under the banner of the foundation, need our own little white paper.
What other stuff did you guys want to bring up that we haven't talked about yet? I don't have any special stuff I wanted to cover.
I don't have anything special I want to talk about right now either. I'm just looking forward to seeing how we can implement secession during an election year, at least talk about secession more with people during the election year because everyone's so focused on this so-called president.
I know it'll feel different here by tomorrow night. The insanity will have passed through New Hampshire and moved on. It'll be different afterwards. Last week, so I talked to Steve a little bit on our thing about his testimony, and then Matt C, you talked a little bit about it last week when we had Monday, but so we've kind of covered that, and then we don't know what the next step is if the key people want to shepherd the stuff through. So I guess it's kind of like we moved on to other things for a little bit here, haven't we?
I did put on the website a link to all of the committee hearings are on YouTube, including the executive session. So I have a link to the actual executive session where they're talking about HB 1130, and of course it's I don't know if it's amazing or what, or disappointing or what, how quickly, it was a matter of minutes that they just ITL'd them, but it's maybe worth a quick listen just because they each of the person who'd made the motion to ITL spoke briefly about why they didn't seem to have a good microphone, so I couldn't really hear much of it, but
Yeah, Matt C, you were there, right?
so I was late. I walked into that hearing just as the CACR 20 vote finished.
Okay. And then you're saying, Steve, that you saw a recording, but it was hard to figure out what was going on.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe if you guys feel motivated, you can listen to the whole thing and see if you can. I mean, basically, they're just. I think they just want to, that they feel that if they voted in favor, they would, or oppose the ITL, that they would, they would risk their re-election chances. That's probably the main thing there.
Mm-hmm. I got the feeling that, you know, the way they prefaced our whole discussion that other time, I get a feeling from a lot of those guys and those feedback that they feel like if they don't do everything they can to stop this, that if it makes it through their committee, then suddenly we're starting a civil war. Mm. You know, I mean, we're trying to tell them, like with the one thing, we just want a steady committee, and they just don't, you know, they just, it goes so fast. You know, they just act like, oh, this, we can't even do this. We can't even talk about it. Yeah. You know, just amazing to me. The reactions, but that's just the way it is.
It's almost like they're afraid of the ramifications of voting for an idea that's very different. It's almost like they're afraid to chance leaving the United States or trying something new, instead of they just want to try the old political solutions and keep their political power.
And what's funny, you're talking about people that are in the House of Representatives of New Hampshire. They don't have very much power. And some of them aren't that, you know, like mono, you know, so focused on getting reelected, but maybe they are. I don't know.
So, Matt, I suppose you wouldn't know this, Matt, but do you have any idea when it will actually go to the floor, both of those bills?
No, because they're due out of committee. I know. In 2022, it was after Liberty Forum when the vote was held, like in March. Through March when it was actually brought.
Okay, so it's not going to be anytime soon.
No, that's the thing, is we had to rush, you know, to get ready for this, because suddenly it was being discussed and we only knew about it, what, for 6 or 7 days, right, Matt? Yeah, and then suddenly after this, we're going to have, you know, a month or two to be thinking.
Yeah, I'm really glad we did it this year, the CACR, even though it's weird, the fact what happened today in Texas just further justifies progressing it as, you know, I'm glad we didn't wait another year. What happened today, what the Supreme Court did, is bullshit.
If it was up to you, in a few months, what do you think would be the best bill to propose, like, next year?
Well, you know, it'd be kind of cool to do the CACR not during an election year. You know?
Yeah, like, so you think there'd be some another one that's changing the Constitution would be the best thing for next year?
I mean, we can try something else. I just know... you know, this year is an election year. 2 years ago was election year for the state. So, mm-hmm. You know, would love to see what people think when it's not an election year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, because we can't do the same thing twice in a row, but you could do a totally different kind of CACR next year.
But we're starting a new session, though, in 2025.
Okay.
Right. This year is year two of the first two.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, so what do you think would be the best one for next year?
Any other ideas? I think we should have before we ask the state to do a state study commission. Well, I guess we'll see how many votes we've got. Let's see how many votes we have for the state study commission before we ask for another. See if we actually need to do it.
So, Matt, I've probably been out of the loop, but you were talking about some Supreme Court action that happened, what was it, yesterday today. Or something? Today. Tell me what that was, because I'm...
Yeah, so the Texas National Guard is trying to protect the southern border, and now federal agents have...
Oh, okay, I did hear about that.
Yeah, it's 5-4 ruling. The federal agents can snip the razor wire, so that way people who aren't coming in the way, according to the laws, they're supposed to be allowed to come in, can come in. Completely organized, not okay. The completely stomping over the state of Texas's desire to act as a sovereign, one of the, you know, as a polity that is, even though it wasn't one of the 13 colonies that was created the Constitution, all the states have that, you know, that power. So totally running over Texas, not good. It's taking the side of international of foreigners over Texans. Like when you see the treason.
What do you think Texas will do?
I haven't got a clue. You know, because it's if they do something, it's got to be, I don't know. I have no idea what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see about that. Yeah, I was just wondering what we should, you know, what would make sense the next year. If it was up to you, Steve, if you were talking to somebody wanted to sponsor a bill, what would you think would be the next thing to do?
Well, of course.
Study committee type of thing?
No, I would love to. I don't know if it makes sense to do it now, but the bill that's actually listed in the Club 75 Alliance, where it says we are just declaring that the federal government no longer has consent of the governed, and that's all, nothing beyond that.
So that'd be like it'd be kind of like the state of New Hampshire would be saying that, making a statement. Yes. It's kind okay.
Like, we actually are having a better job protecting our northern border right now in New Hampshire than Texas is. It's weird. Like,
what well, on the southern border, they've done lots of crazy things over the last 20, 30 years. They're constantly opening, shedding, putting everybody in jail, letting everybody out. I've never understood it. Even when I was living in Texas half the time, and, you know, some of the times we'd be down on the border, Kat and I, when we'd be truck driving, and we'd be hearing horror stories that didn't seem to be true, and there's all kinds of, we used to spend a lot of time in Laredo, and, you know, and then during COVID, we hated being anywhere near the border, because all the border towns in Texas were COVID mad, like El Paso. We tried to not even stop in El Paso during COVID. It was crazy. So it's always I've never understood what's going on down there, you know.
All right, I think I'm going to have to drop off, but
oh man.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good. We'll
Steve,
we'll
be here next Monday. Let's this is every Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, and we don't know what news might come. You know, otherwise we might we don't know what'll happen in the next week. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. And
you never know, Texas might declare war against the United States.
Anything's possible.
My prediction is that Texas won't do anything.
That's possible too. That's more likely.
That's my guess. What do you guys think? Well, okay. So, well, we'll say goodbye to Steve.
I'm inclined to agree with you, Russell. Just a gut feeling. Anyway, see you guys later.
Okay, talk to you later. So, Matt, did you have more stuff you wanted to say?
I mean, are we going back to my critique of Alu's article? Anything Nexit related?
Yeah, we could talk about a white paper again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, what else did I say? The QA format in the book, you know, it appeals to more of a general public audience. When I want to win over people who are already in charge of areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just had HB 1130 hearings. Did Alu feel confident enough in this to submit it to the committee? I don't know if he did. We presume a lot of success in the articles. I don't know if he consulted any other organizations while he was creating his articles.
Yeah, it seems like his book is trying to convince random people, you know, to yeah. realize how messed up the federal government is and how yeah. much better we could be.
Yeah. You know, people will say how they feel in a poll and you can ask them on the street and they'll give you, you know, an answer that you might like. You know, yeah, I'm down for independence, you know, without having to think about it too much. But will that actually, well, would they, if they have the opportunity to vote on it, would those same people who say yes, would they actually do it? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Alu's book also presumes like a libertarian anarchist vision of independence. And I don't think that's what it's going to be. We should presume a government.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense to me, too. It, you know, Dave Ridley and I talk about that a lot. How, you know, what most of us are really pushing for is just that step of leaving the U.S. And if that happens, it will be with the same, you know, with using the New Hampshire Constitution as the framework for the thing that we would have. You know, we wouldn't be getting all the way to anarchy like a person like me wants. You know, we're not
like
that won't be the next thing that happens.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we're not, the Free State Project wants 20,000 people to move to the state. You're not seceding with 20,000 people. You're not, at least not legally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to start looking at projections on when the U.S. could break up. We need projections for that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we've had two polls that were completed after the Articles of Secession were published.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the white paper for Catalonia.
I think what I will do is if I happen to get Matt back on, I'll be talking to him, but it won't be part of the recording. I think I'm going to close off my recording right now. So it was good talking to these guys and catching up on stuff. And I will be posting this hopefully Monday night, the 22nd. And then we'll catch you guys later.